for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Tonight, Vox Pop travels to New Orleans, Queen City of the Deep South, to join in celebrating the country's most colorful carnival, Mardi Gras. In fact, your two Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Hall, are mixed up in a celebration right now in the grand ballroom of the Roosevelt Hotel. Come in, Mardi Gras.
Johnson. And this is Warren Hall. Folks, the noise you just heard is only a small sample of what's been going on down here for several days. The city is bursting at the seams, and every man, woman, and child in the city is taking part in Mardi Gras.
Yes, sir. Fun and frolic parades and balls, elaborate feasts and gorgeous costumes. In a city that is a riot of color with quince, camellias, and azaleas blooming profusely everywhere. Let's get in the parade, Warren. Who's in the first float?
Well, Parks, a man who's taken part in many a Mardi Gras and who helped make New Orleans famous for a certain kind of music. He was a member of the old original New Orleans Dixieland Jazz Band. Right now, he's playing in the Keithley Quartet over at Monteleone's in the French Quarter. He lives, of all places, on Music Street. Slim, dapper, gray-haired Emil Christian. Isn't that wonderful? Say, you've been a musician all your life, haven't you, Emil?
All my life, yes.
You like it?
Oh, very much. That's my pleasure.
You wouldn't have anything else, then?
No, I wouldn't trade that for the best thing in the world.
You played in many a Mardi Gras parade?
Yes. Uh-huh. Lots of them, always in the Mardi Gras parade, but it hasn't got the same atmosphere as it has now. It used to be more lively. We had different sorts of bands of different descriptions.
Really?
And I mean, it had more life. People used to dance along the street when a band come along and play that hot stuff. You know, that good old New Orleans.
They used to dance in the street?
Oh, dance in the street. They were happy, enjoying it.
Well, you mean they don't dance in the street the same way now?
Well, no, they haven't got that atmosphere, that push. You know, that old-time stuff?
You mean the kind you used to give them?
That kind. You know, we used to do our best and shut it out.
Well, Emil, is it true that you played by ear even after you were famous, your band?
Yes. Always, I picked it up by ear and all through, all the way over to England, still without music.
Well, even after you began making records, you played by ear?
By ear, always. Even while we were in London in 1919, we got a letter from the Columbia Phonograph Company to make some recordings, mm-hmm. and their request was for a number, then just come out, I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, well, we didn't have no music. Even if we had music, we couldn't play it.
Yes.
But
what'd you do?
They had another band in the place where we were playing, and they used to play Blowing Bubbles, see? So we said, well, we got to record this thing tomorrow, so we better listen to it. So we had the other band play it a couple of times, see? So they played Blowing Bubbles first a couple of times, and we got it. So
and
the next
recorded.
Day, we went over and recorded I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles with the original Dixieland Jazz Band.
What a difference today. Say, how would you explain Dixieland style?
Oh, well, Dixieland style, that's every man for himself, you see.
Yeah.
But, within reason,
yeah.
You know. I mean, if a man could play a solo, well, we'd get behind him and just push him. You know, give him a little shove, and that'd make him go more, you
see. Sure. Well, Emil, we're going to have an illustration of what you mean. We have WWL's new Dixieland Jazz Band here, and they're going to play for us, and we'll see what you think of it. Okay, boys, off to the races.
Thank you.
You like that, Emil?
Well, it's sort of bringing me back to the old days.
Yeah, they had plenty of push, right?
Yeah, it sounds like that stuff, you know.
Well, we want to thank you, you new Dixieland jazz band, for the demonstration. Bromo Seltzer has for you something very nice for each of you by way of Mr. Petrillo. And for you, Emil, we have something that a string bass flapper should have. It's a pocket watch. In this case, it's a gold case, thin and beautiful, with a 17-jewel movement. It's a Matei Tissot watch. I think you'll like that. And we went over to Sears Roebuck, and we got this fine silver-tone table model radio, so you can listen to Box Bob every Monday night.
Oh,
all right?
Hey, that's marvelous. Thanks.
Good luck to you,
Emil
Dixon.
It's been a pleasure to be on the program.
Strike while the psychological moment is hot. What you might call a pearl of modern wisdom from Dick Joy.
Yes, Parks, when opportunity hangs its horn.
Hey, Clark, how about luncheon? I'm meeting Bill Jones.
Why, Mitch, I'd sure like to, but...
Oh, you better come along. Bill's worth knowing.
Sorry, Mitch, some other time. I've got a mean headache today.
But some other time may be too late for that business contact. You've got to hit it on high all the time. And that means take no nonsense from ordinary headache. Take fast-acting Bromo Seltzer. Get prompt, effective relief. Feel better three ways. Quickly, Bromo Seltzer helps relieve headache, helps settle upset stomach, and soothe jittery nerves that may accompany headache. Next time, rush relief. Reach for dependable Bromo Seltzer. No dry, bulky tablets to swallow. No tedious waiting for something to dissolve. Bromo Seltzer's dissolved before you drink it. Set for speedy action. So don't be satisfied with slow-acting aids, single-acting aids. Get fast three-way help with Bromo Seltzer. There's a size for every purse, so ask your druggist for Bromo Seltzer, the split-second dissolving effervescent millions rely on to...
Here we are back in New Orleans, Mardi Gras, and everybody's having a good fun. You know, the dream of every young girl's life in New Orleans is to grow up and be the queen of Mardi Gras Carnival. At the moment, this year's queen is still a dark and well-kept secret. But we have a queen with us now who is enjoying every moment of the first Mardi Gras since Pearl Harbor. She was queen of the carnival in 1916, and this year, her ex-Coast Guard son is a duke. Folks, a charming queen, Mrs. France Hindemann. Miss Hindemann, how well do you recall that day that you received your invitation to be queen of the carnival?
Oh, so well. It was just remarkably wonderful.
Tell me about it.
Well... Colonel Soule was at that time head of the carnival organization.
Uh-huh.
And he and his retinue of gentlemen called. And my mother had prepared a beautiful speech for my acceptance. But she was very disappointed when her daughter said, "Oh, thank you. I'll be so happy."
Just like that, right straight from the heart. But it was an exciting moment, wasn't it?
Oh, one of the most exciting moments of my life.
How long before Mardi Gras do they invite the lady to be queen?
Oh, about September.
That early?
That early.
And you have to keep it a secret?
You have to, and if you don't, it's very bad.
How can you keep it that long?
Well, it's awfully hard for a woman to keep a secret, but she knows she dare not let that one out.
She might be forced to
take a rest for her nerves or something?
Oh, yes, she might be forced to leave town almost.
Well, but how about making all those costumes and things? Somebody's got to make that, won't they, Toph?
Oh, well, they have someone that keeps that secret, too.
Uh-huh.
The Carnival organization has its own dressmaker each year that does that only.
Uh-huh. And it is a well-kept secret.
It's a well-kept secret.
What do you think this year's Carnival Queen is doing right now? Here it is, the night before the big day.
Well, I think she's quite as thrilled as I was. And I know she's going to have an elegant time at the ball tonight.
Oh, she attends the ball tonight?
Oh, yes.
Unannounced, though, as being...
Oh, unannounced.
Uh-huh, just smiling to herself, huh?
Indeed she does.
Tell me, Ms. Hindemann, about those jewels she wears. Does she keep them?
Yes, the Carnival Queen keeps her jewels, and they remain with her, or she either turns them over to the museum in New Orleans, which so many queens have done. But I have kept mine, and they've been a great source of pleasure to take down through the years.
I know they must have been. And to the Queen, what would you say is the big moment?
Well, the big moment is when she has to face that huge crowd of people at the ball.
On Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Many, many romances grow out of Mardi Gras, the carnival, the balls and parties, don't they?
Yes, I married one of my dupes.
Oh, you did? You mean this nice-looking gentleman back here?
That very handsome gentleman back there.
Well, Ms. Hindemann, tonight, are you going to a ball?
Yes, I'm going to Proteus.
Is son Duke going to be there?
No, he isn't. He's very busy tomorrow and tomorrow night.
Oh, yes. One last question. He was in the Coast Guard?
Yes.
A lieutenant?
A lieutenant in the Coast Guard.
From a lieutenant to Duke. That's stepping, isn't it?
That's going pretty far.
Well, Ms. Hindemann, we're really honored to have had so charming a queen with us tonight. You give us a nice background out of which to develop the rest of our Mardi Gras program. And as a souvenir of the occasion, our sponsors, Broma Seltzer, hope that you'll enjoy, first of all, this pair of Pride of Mobile azaleas, all bald and ready to plant in your garden. And wait a minute. Hold on. And this rare Salve's Bisque figurine from Ms. Eliska Tobin's Antiques Creole. You know her, I'm sure.
Oh, indeed, I do.
It's an heirloom from one of Louisiana's most aristocratic Creole families. We hope you enjoy it very much. Good night, Ms. Hindemann.
Thank you.
Lots of fun tomorrow.
You may have your April in Paris, chestnuts in blossom. We'll take New Orleans in March, azaleas in bloom, gaiety in the spring air. But why should I try to describe it? Here's a man who's written about it so well. Author of Fabulous New Orleans, one of the authors of Gumbo Yaya, and one of our favorite men of letters. Tall, distingué, Mr. Lyle Saxon. Mr. Saxon, I'm very sorry. You're just going to have to lean over to this microphone here. You're just going to have to lean over if we can hear you. I wanted to ask you, what does Gumbo Yaya mean?
Gumbo Yaya means everybody talks at once. It seems to me that's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah. We are having fun. Are you a native New Orleanian?
Sir, I'm a country boy. I came out from the country back of Baton Rouge, but I've lived here for 35 years.
I see. Do you remember your first Mardi Gras?
Yes, sir. I came down here on a steamboat with my grandpa, and he took me around to show me Mardi Gras, and I had a very nice time. But may I, do you mind? I want to talk about Mardi Gras 1916, when Ms. Hindemann was queen.
Go ahead.
I remember so well. I was young in those days, and younger than I am now, I mean, and... Ms. Hindemann was the prettiest, most gracious queen I've ever seen. She was Miss Ellis. And I remember so well when she was sitting on the Boston Club Gallery, and we teased her a little bit because she had been so popular that year, and she had been in so many of the balls. Somebody made up a song just to tease her. She had been queen of this and that and maid of this and that and so on. And somebody said, "You're not going to be queen of Comus, are you?" I was a bit mad. I recall.
Yes. Well, it seems to me that everyone, young and old, seems to turn out and join in this celebration of Mardi Gras.
My dear sir, it's the most democratic celebration I've ever seen in my life. I think we all love it. I mean, may I elucidate?
Sure.
I mean, it's the one time in the world when we can do exactly what we please. I mean, the beggar becomes the king, and the king becomes the vagabond, or whatever you want to call it. And the people who put on masks go out in the street and become entirely anonymous and have a glorious and great time. I have an old friend, 70 years old, a lady who goes out every Mardi Gras as a jockey. And I revere her fun.
Well, do you remember... You remember your best Mardi Gras?
I don't know, sir. I've had so many Mardi Gras, they become confused. But I remember one year when I was a Dalmatian coach dog. And I was carried away by the idea, capricious idea, that I want to carry a bouquet of dogwood. You know, dog and dogwood. But something happened. Somebody gave me a cocktail or someone was on my way to get the flowers, and I came back with Virgilia. And it made no sense.
Well, we understand that at midnight, tomorrow night, New Orleans returns to its normal self.
Yes, sir. And a mighty beautiful celebration it is, the floats, the parades, the fireworks, or whatever it is we have, the sparklers and the flambeau and so on. And tomorrow morning, not tomorrow morning, sir, but I mean the morning of Ash Wednesday, if you're able to, you go to early mass, or at least you repent your sins. But in the meantime, from now until midnight on Mardi Gras, sir, you are your own man.
All right, sir. They seem to like that idea. I wish we could continue this, but the next best way is to read Fabulous New Orleans and Gumbo Yaya, wouldn't you say? And now Bromo Seltzer has for you, sir, something we hope you'll like. It's the first edition. It's a brand-new post-war Stromberg-Carlson Federal model radio phonograph combination in a handsome case. And to add to your collection of antiques, an antique tobacco box with a figurine on the top. Incidentally, if you look at it closely, you see the figure is Joe Gilmore as a boy. Thank you. Good luck to you, Mr. Lyle Saxon.
There's something kind of scary about a fire engine screeching. Something kind of safe-sounding, too, as Dick Joyce says.
Because, Parks, a fire engine stands for protection. But protection needn't make a big noise to be mighty important. Quiet, behind-the-scenes safeguards make Bromo Seltzer your help for headache discomfort. The Emerson Drug Company's exclusive plan of product control absolutely guarantees Bromo Seltzer's uniform purity and quality. Registered pharmacists compound Bromo Seltzer in one of America's most modern laboratories. And here's real protection. 90 separate tests, repeated laboratory analyses and inspection checks further protect Bromo Seltzer's quality, from selected bulk materials to final exactly accurate filling and special protective sealing of each bottle. So don't let headache rob you of efficiency or pleasure. Do use Bromo Seltzer. Reach for fast-acting Bromo Seltzer. Get three-way effective help. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. Buy a bottle of quality-protected Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight and...
fight headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
We are back in the grand ballroom of the Hotel Roosevelt in New Orleans with a lot of Mardi Gras celebrators. But we want to say good luck to you, Dick Joy. We want to wish you and your partner, Don McVane, loads of luck with your own radio station, KCMJ in Palm Springs, California, the 154th CBS affiliate. So We know you're going out there to work. So long, Dick Joy. We'll be seeing you at Radio Oasis, KCMJ in Palm Springs. Okay, Parker.
Yeah, Dickie, we certainly hate for Dick to move on, but we do wish him well. Here's a native son of New Orleans. Well. I was going on to add that he's one that all New Orleans knows, but you can hear that for yourself. He's just out of the Army Air Forces. In fact, he's so new out of it that he's still wearing his snappy uniform with his gold leaves on each shoulder. Folks, an old favorite of every listener to radio station WWL in New Orleans, our own inimitable Henry Dupre. Hi, Henry. It's good to see you. You look mighty happy tonight.
I feel wonderful, Parks. It certainly is wonderful to be home again, too.
Is it because of Mardi Gras or getting back to Peggy and Hotshot?
Well, I'll tell you. It's a sort of a fourfold reason.
Yes?
Mardi Gras, for one thing, to be back and celebrated with all the rest of us tomorrow. To be back a civilian again, although still in military clothes.
Uh-huh.
And also to celebrate with my own little Mardi Gras, who has his birthday tomorrow on Mardi Gras Day, his fourth month.
4 months old. Junior,
huh? That's right.
Henry, talking about your uniform and civilian clothes, are you having any trouble getting civilian
Not
clothes?
A bit of trouble. I just can't get anything.
Oh, no trouble about it. Henry, I remember hearing you many, many times in the past years telling Cajun stories on the air. You still got some?
Yes, I
Oh, wait a minute.
So.
Before I ask you to tell one, if you will trot one out, let's explain to a few people listening who might not know just what a Cajun is. What is a Cajun?
Well, I'd like to think first, Fox, of that Cajun story as long as you've told me we're on the air, because the ones I know ain't fitting for the air. But
yeah.
I might be able to delve back and get one and clean it up for you. Cajun is the boogaloo, like myself, from the backwoods of Louisiana. They were originally settled many years ago by the Acadians from Canada,
uh-huh,
who came down here and settled in one part of Louisiana, and throughout the ages, the name they've dropped the Acadia and just call them for short, Cajuns, C-A-J-U-N-S.
And they're the finest fishermen and the finest folks in the state.
Finest fishermen, man. They're good hunters. They live a good life. They raise a big family. They're okay for my money.
Now, have you got a story? Have you thought of one, Henry?
Well, I heard one the other day about this chap that came back to the Acadian country and was telling his friends about it, and he's explaining to his old cronies over there over the Cracker Barrel. So he'd say, me and Raoul, we go to make a hunt, man. So we walk out in the bayou country. We walk about 3-4 miles with the pirogue on the back and the gun on the shoulder and the fishing rod in my back pocket. So we walk around, and all of a sudden I say, hey, wait a minute, Raoul, let me do something here. So, man, I wet my finger like that. I put it in the air, man. The air, she ain't so good for fishing and for hunting. So then I try again, and I put my finger in the bayou swamp, and I taste it. And the water, she is kind of brackish, so that's bad for fishing, too. So I say, Raoul, man, you can go on if you want. For me, I am going home. So me, I turn around, I walk all the way back to my shack back there. I open the door. It's about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you know, Pop. So I open the door, and as I come in, I hit my shin on the chair, and I say, ay, ay, ay. And my wife from the other room, she yells, Henri, Henri, is that you? And I say, sacre bleu, it better be me.
That's a swell Cajun story. But let me get on to Mardi Gras just a minute. There's some things I'd like to know. I understand that they prepare for these annual Mardi Gras a long, long time in advance. Is that true?
That's right. 10 months out of the year, Pop.
Just lay off 2 months and then the next...
That's right. They work so hard for those tens that after Mardi Gras, in other words, when Ash Wednesday starts, they take a vacation for about 2 months. And during that 2 months, they're not really on a vacation. They're planning for the parades and balls for next year and actually go into the labor of production 2 months after Mardi Gras Day.
Those beautiful floats, it takes a long time to create them, huh?
10 months. They create them, they build them, they do everything right here in New Orleans, of and with and by New Orleans people.
I noticed those floats are all drawn by mules.
Yes, yes. We have the mules pulling the garbage wagons throughout the entire year. But you know the old expression, every mule has his day, and Mardi Gras is his day. I'll tell you, they take them off... No, this is true. They told me down there at the mule den.
Uh-huh.
They take them off the garbage wagon. They give them a good scrubbing down. They even polish their toenails so that on Mardi Gras Day, every mule
Henry,
that all the other days pulled a garbage wagon
Henry.
Is a shining knight in armor. Yes,
Henry. Henry, I guess you'll be busy all day tomorrow broadcasting for the...
Yes, okay. We have our own broadcast for WWL. We have 18 scheduled, but then we are helping out.
Yes.
The Columbia Broadcasting System, those big boys that are down here, to do three-quarters of an hour tomorrow. For
you mean Bill Slocum, Larry LeSueur, and Bill Downs, who
That's
are here
right.
with us tonight?
Yes, they're doing a broadcast at 5:15 and another at 9.
I'm going to tune in. And Henry Dupre, we're all glad you're back with us, and we're glad you're back at WWL to join Howard Somerville and Ed Herner and the rest of your buddies.
Thank you.
And from good old Bromo Seltzer, here are some gifts that we hope you'll enjoy. For Junior,
yeah,
whom you've nicknamed Hotshot, we've got a playpen with a pad. You can put him out in the yard and let him get some of this Louisiana sun. Now, wait a minute. I got to run right along. For Peggy, one of those rare things, thanks to one of your fine dealers here, a GE Toastmaster automatic pop-up.
Ooh,
you think, Peggy, you like that?
Well,
one more thing. We know that you've learned to hunt. I saw you at Will Rogers Airfield. And for you, a brand-new design Savage lightweight automatic shotgun. You know what the Savage is.
Boy, thanks.
Thank you a lot, Henry Dupre. Okay, Warren.
Here is a man born in Lausanne, Switzerland, 72 years ago, who's made friends all over this country. If you know him, you'll never forget him. And he's known and remembered by all New Orleans and its visitors as chef, maitre d', and one of the last of the singing waiters. He has an air about him, too. César. César, why did you leave Switzerland?
It's a serious question of love,
A love affair?
Yes, sir.
Did you marry her?
Later on, yes.
Did you bring her to this country?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Where did you take her?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Where have you worked here?
Worked here in New Orleans?
Yes.
In most all the best house in the city. Antoine, La Louisiane, Galatoire, Arnaud, Le Vieux Carré.
That's a good list.
And some more, but the longest time I made is at Antoine, La Louisiane, and Arnaud.
You haven't worked for some time, have you?
About 5 years.
You were in the hospital, I hear.
Yes, I had an accident, and I had trouble with my hip.
Well, we're glad you're out walking around, but we hear also that you're not going to retire.
No, I won't give up.
Where are you going to work when you start to work again?
Well, I think I'll go where I had my last job, for the Count Arnaud de Cazenal. He's a very charming personality, and I like him.
You say that you won't give up. You must have quite a philosophy of life.
Well, I was taught that a little bit, and I have strict... I gained some of that through experience in life. I found out it was always better to smile and cry.
Yes.
You know? And to make people happy.
Well, you certainly do that, sir.
I try to all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I get results.
You get results. You
yes.
sure do. What should people do on Mardi Gras Day? I know you've seen a good many of them. What should they do?
That's a great day, you know. That's the day where all the sins should be pardoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Say, Cesar, we wish that you would sing that one little song you sing while you're preparing Café Brûlot or Café Diablo. You know, when you push up your hair, push up your mustache so that you look like Mephisto, the devil. Will you sing that?
Well, if anybody... I hope nobody will get scared.
That's all right. That's all right.
When the coffee is lighted, the bowl is lighted, I get my hair up, my eyebrows up, and my mustache. Then I sing the Mephisto Partition of Faust.
Oh, I sing it.
When he caught Marguerite fooling with Faust.
Oh, I sing it, please, quickly.
He got mad. He said, ha-ha! C'est à moi que portiez cette terre. And the bowl is burning up, the flame's going up, the light goes out. C'est à moi la femme et le bon vin. Et c'est à moi que portiez la vengeance. Ha, 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 ha,
ha. We wish we could take you along with us every week. And now, Bromo Seltzer has for you, knowing that you're going back to work soon, a real outing first, a trip to Mexico City. And so that you can send us a postcard, here's a Parker 51. Thank you very much. Good luck to you. It's wonderful to know you. Good job.
Well, folks, we wish each of you could experience personally the charming hospitality of New Orleans. They are lovely people, and it's always hard to leave them.
But Box Pop travels on to the nation's Sunshine City, St. Petersburg.